Welcome, listeners, to Connect the Dots. We're here with you every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm Allison Rose Levy, health, food, and environmental journalist, contributing blogs to Alternet and the Huffington Post, as well as my own website, healthjournalistblog.com. It's my pleasure to be with you here on the Progressive Radio Network to connect the dots. Every week on the show, we connect the dots between our personal health and well-being and our total health environment. And that means the health of our food, water, air, and earth, the health of our communities, the health of our society, the health of planet Earth. And this is the theme we talk about every week on the show, bringing in different experts and thought leaders who address different aspects of our total health environment and our experience. So we have a terrific guest today on the show, and I just want to comment. Usually we begin every broadcast with some action because I'm really a great believer in connecting, you know, our positive intentions and hopes for our world to concrete actions that can better our world on all levels, including specific ones to help protect the Earth, and which is really the habitat for the lives that we live and all that we do here on this planet. Today, I'm really thrilled that our show is going to widen the lens, you know, kind of go from the close up and neighborhood and local and national actions to really kind of a bigger picture of, you know, what humans are doing, can do, and are capable of kind of moving forward here on planet Earth. And I think that's very appropriate for a whole bunch of reasons we'll talk about on the show today, including the, you know, the Mayan prediction and all everything that goes along with that. Before we begin, I just also want to note that in the last week, of course, we've had a tragic occurrence here on the East Coast in Newtown, Connecticut, you know, with the terrible violent incident that occurred. And I just want to comment because I'm very much on Facebook talking to many people. I actually did a blog about this on Alternet called Six Ways to Replace Violence with a Culture of Caring, asking all of us to look at our own attitudes, things we might take for granted, how they contribute, you know, together in small and large ways to violence in our society. And my belief is that if we all kind of take responsibility together rather than, you know, targeting a bad seed who might be to blame or hoping it will all go away or, you know, becoming very upset and angry about all of this ourselves, we have to all take responsibility to make the kind of changes that need to happen to protect the life and health of our children. So if you're interested, you can Google Alternet plus my name, Allison Rose Levy. Read that article. There have been a lot of comments about it. It invites us all to look at our own attitudes and beliefs and work with them. I also want to mention that this sad event, you know, brings up a lot of emotion for a lot of people. I've seen this on Facebook where I've been involved in many community dialogues. People feel very strongly. They're very upset. There's a lot of passion and concern, rightly, raised by this incident. I think it's important that it not go away, but that we really look at what it brings up, our own responses, how we dialogue with others, and all the rest of that. And probably going ahead in 2013 on Connect the Dots, I'm going to be doing more programs that really kind of work with those issues as well. So I urge you to take a look at that and pass it along to others if you find it useful. And that brings us to the theme of today's show, which is how to make a shift and why this is a time when some believe that we're really being called upon to make a major shift in order to, you know, attitudinally and in our hearts, as well as through concrete action. So my guest on today's Connect the Dots, and I'm really thrilled that we can have him here today, just at this very critical moment in time, when a whole series of events that he has been organizing, I know, for several years will be taking place. And that is Stephen Dynan, who is the director, the CEO of the Shift Network, which has been working on events and insights and books and communications around how we can shift ourselves and our planetary direction in a more healing and positive way. He'll be joining me today and tell us more about an upcoming event that he's the co-founder of, which is, you know, on the website he calls it 3 Days of Love. It's the Birth 2012 campaign. Very, very interesting. And that will be what we talk about on today's show. So I want to welcome you, Stephen Dynan, to Connect the Dots.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for all of your passionate work on so many fronts.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's the work of community. It's the work of teams. It's all our work. You know, people, there's so many people doing this and participating in many, many different ways. So, you know, actually, I have to tell you a funny story. Now, I want to confess something, which is, I've had a number of the wonderful people who are going to be participating in this event, and during the show will be telling people, you know, how they can kind of get involved. But a number of your wonderful guests have been prior guests on Connect the Dots in my prior radio program, from Lynn McTaggart, Irvin Laszlo, Deepak Chopra, you know, James O'D, a whole bunch of people that are participating in this event are my prior guests and have just been, you know, doing wonderful work. But I also have to share with you something funny. I actually have worked close with Irvin Laszlo, who wrote the original book about, you know, the 2012 prophecies and what that meant for Earth. And he really grounded them a great deal in practical scientific projections, which we can talk about today on the show. But I myself am an agnostic about the Mayan calendar, which many have heard of, and we can discuss that. And I'm saying that, you know, to stand in for listeners who may have some questions or, you know, about that as well. But I also have to tell you that very oddly enough, I was at a Deepak Chopra event on the West Coast 2.5 years ago, when Barbara Marks Hubbard, who with you is a co-founder of this event, sat around in a small group saying, "We've just decided to do this." So,
oh, really? That's very interesting.
Yeah. It was a Deepak Sages and Scientists event, and, you know, we're sitting around in the lobby. Someone had brought me over to introduce me, and so I just ended up, you know, kind of being there in that conversation. And here we are, 2.5 years later. So, you know, I don't know when you would date the founding of it, but this was the first I heard about it. What is the intention of the Birth 2012 campaign?
Well, if you take a step back and you say, what's symbolically important about the transition of a calendar from one era to another? It's a 125-year cycle, which is actually the longest calendar that we have in sort of regular usage in terms of a cyclical calendar. So just as we mark the transition from a year with New Year's Eve, with great celebration of the what's past, and New Year's Day with intentions to create a different kind of world for ourselves. So New Year's resolutions are one of the most common things in the culture. But if we expanded that to a whole era, and we said, okay, we've had 5,125 years of an era, and we're celebrating the end of that, which there are many events around the world that are marking this. There's Unify meditations, we have global, I mean, a whole range of things from global songs to events in Mexico to Australia to Jerusalem. There's all of these marker points around the world saying, let's use this turning of the calendar as an opportunity to come together in a new way across the entire world, and in a way set a different template for moving forward. Set our intentions for a world that is peaceful and sustainable and healthy and prosperous. So a lot of the things that you're focused on. And a world that's really based on love. So it happens to coincide with the time when so many scientists are saying that we are at a tipping point time, that our current trajectory is unsustainable, that we have to make a large-scale shift. Most people are sort of stuck in the patterns of the old, the momentum, if you will, of the last cultural era, and we're still kind of doing things the way we've been doing, and that puts us on a trajectory for a lot of conflict and self and destruction. And so we say, you know, what is it going to take to reach that turning point, that tipping point moment where we really get a critical mass of people committing to birth this new era on different principles? So we said, let's use this turning point date as a marker where people can come together around the world and celebrate what's being born. And we call it Birth 2012 because we don't want to overshoot in what we're claiming is going to happen. In a way, it's like, what, you know, birth is a very momentous process, but it also, once a baby is born, it's still pretty helpless. You know, it needs a lot. It needs to find its ability to walk and talk and even eat very effectively. And so if we're talking about what's being born is really a planetary culture, a recognition that we are one body. So when people have a direct experience of that, when they feel interconnected with their humanity and global humanity in a new way, and even the biosphere, that's what's going to motivate people to shift all the other levels of their behavior. So if we're just in purely focused just on ourselves and say, okay, well, of course I want more stuff for myself, and I want to have bigger car or more cars and bigger house and more money, and it's sort of like it's all based around self-interest. But if our mm-hmm. identity shifts so that we're really taking the larger whole as part of ourselves, so we're not seeing ourselves as separate, competing with others for scarce resources, but rather in a sort of larger communion with the world, then we're going to behave a lot more consciously and a lot more sustainably, a lot more peacefully.
And I certainly agree with that. That is definitely true. That is a kind of foundational orientation, that kind of sets us up to make, you know, better, more human and life-centric choices rather than to kind of keep on with these old trajectories. You know, one of the things I'd love to hear you address, because I always like to kind of make it personal for people too, is, you know, from my perception, speaking for myself and from others that I see, we're all works in progress on this, you know, so we may at one moment speak about wholeness, and at the other we may be griping with someone that we're arguing with about anything from, you know, personal life to work life to whether we should have gun control or not, or, you know. I think it's really important to acknowledge that, you know, you don't, if this is a moment or a time to kind of tune in with others to a sort of a more unifying resonance, that doesn't, that kind of brings us a little along further without our having to be, you know, while acknowledging that we may not always function that way, we may be works in progress on how integrated we are with all that. Could you speak to that point a little bit? Because I think that, you know, I think there are some, you know, some people maybe don't join in because they don't identify with that, and others maybe, you know, are kind of trying to identify but being dismayed at places where, you know, they have negative or divisive feelings or outrages over certain things. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, where people are with that in themselves and in their own lives, you know, prior to joining?
You're right on. I mean, you have to be completely authentic with mm-hmm. every aspect. We have to be. Because mm-hmm. otherwise, if we're perpetuating any sort of a lie about who we are or what we're mm-hmm. actually feeling, that's going to split us from the truth of who we are. Is it like we can't actually live into a new reality if we're pretending? We can create a nice facade, but it's not going to be very real. Mm-hmm. And so part of actually the ground of this whole global campaign is 3 days of love, to really practice and act from love for 3 days. And we have mm-hmm. many people who have signed on, from the kind of new cultural leaders like Deepak Chopra or Michael Beckwith and Marianne Williamson to people like Russell Simmons and Michael Franti, and we're getting more that are signing on every day. Mm-hmm. And so there's a recognition that love is sort of is like a foundational truth for how we want to live. And love doesn't mean it's all saccharine sweet all the time. It's like love means dealing with conflict. It means dealing with grief and woundedness, like we're experiencing around the Connecticut massacre. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a reality in being with all parts of ourselves. And in fact, that is kind of like the divine stance, if you will. It's like to see and love and embrace everything. So the parts of ourselves that are you know, kind of nasty, that want to be nasty or just like separative or just, you know, those also are equally worthy of love. And so if we're not creating internal civil wars with ourselves, then we're not going to be creating different kinds of war in the outer world. So the harmony in our heart extends into the outer world. But that doesn't mean that all these other parts of us go away. And so one way to do that is just kind of make them into more fun, playful aspects. So like my wife and I will kind of parody different aspects of ourselves. And it's sort of like, there was Ram Dass once said, he says, you know, that he'd meditated and done therapy and all these things for 40 years, and he hadn't gotten rid of one neurosis yet. And he says, but instead of their huge, scary monsters, they're all like little schmoos now.
Mm-hmm.
and so they become less threatening and less overwhelming. And so we're not run by our patterns, our old habits, but we can kind of embrace them and see them and laugh about them a bit.
And be open about them, and that also means accountability, taking responsibility about them. You know, if you admit you have them, then, you know, because I also think, I feel that, you know, taking responsibility both for our own reactions and, you know, for the parts of ourselves and loving the parts of ourselves that we don't love is really, you know, kind of a step toward taking more responsibility for our shared habitat and world here and its future and for, you know, what we pass forward to future generations. So it kind of goes all the way through.
One way that I like to think about it is, in terms of the environment, is that our human body, mind, self, is our miniature environment. And mm-hmm. the way we relate to that is going to be have a lot to do with how we relate to the larger environment of our planet. So if we're hating our body, it's going to be very hard to love the Earth, because that is our little part of the embodied reality that we are entrusted with taking care of. And so we want to be in deep, loving, supportive relationship with all of ourselves, which includes all the parts that feel wounded or broken or neurotic or crazy. As we do that more and more, we're going to be able to be in loving relationship with the larger Earth in a much deeper way.
Mm-hmm. I totally concur with that. I really feel that too. And you know, in fact, my background, as listeners know, is that I, you know, was originally a proponent of the integrative health movement, a reporter, an advocate of healthy nutrition, self-care, and all the rest of it, you know, yoga, the whole thing. One of the things that happened in my reporting is that, you know, with all the work we did to sort of, you know, make the body a temple and make healthy choices for ourselves and all of that, it was kind of like there was a circumscribed circle where we ate healthy, but we didn't step beyond the circle to assure that the healthy food is protected by public policy, or to assure that through food justice or other kinds of justice or policy issues, that's available for everybody. So, you know, I'm kind of always laboring in the place where we step up from the personal to the community and the social, to, you know, kind of ground the healthy intentions we might have as individuals and make them part of the social will, the social intention, you know, that we're expressing here on the planet. And there's a lot of, and that has, when I began kind of expanding my vision and kind of stepping into that and reporting more on those kinds of things, you know, that's an area where we need a lot of work. So, you know, I mean, what is your, because, you know, we can see there are a number of policies, and in that whole realm, there's a lot of contention and conflict, and so, you know, some people jump in to participate, others avoid it because it's unpleasant, obviously. You know, how do we act skillfully in that dimension, and how does the 3 days of love, you know, kind of help people do that?
Well, I think my root understanding is that we actually have pretty much all the solutions we need in the world. They're just not at a sufficient level of scale, and we're squandering too much of our energy in conflict with each other rather than cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
If you really look at the trillions of dollars that are spent on military and protection around the world, that's really a reflection of us being largely identified with either tribes or nations that are at war or have enemies with some other state. So it's kind of a reflection of we haven't gone to that next level of really seeing ourselves as one integrated global people. And so we spend a lot of money defending ourselves against other portions of those people. And it's a lot of squandered money and time.
Mm-hmm.
In different realms, you know, I think in healthcare, it's like there's also forces with the market where you know, companies and doctors are incentivized to kind of over prescribe tests and to in a way engage in primarily physical interventions, when a lot of times it's nutritional or psychological.
Mm-hmm.
Just building better habits. You look at some of the programs like Dean Ornish has created in terms of working with heart disease and being able to turn that around at a quarter of the price. There's a lot of things that are sort of soft interventions that are going to be about building healthier lifestyles that are actually a lot cheaper. So again, the underpinning model of reality is leading us to waste a lot of money and time on things that are not actually contributing to that health and wholeness that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think it's really important, or you can say inner cities, for instance, that have high rates of crime and violence, is that by not addressing the deeper roots of cultivating children who can then grow into very empowered careers, and instead we end up kind of marginalizing them and pushing them aside and not helping, and then you end up in jail. It's costing us $80,000 a year. So again, a large amount of societal resources squandered because we're just not looking at it from a holistic perspective. So that's where I think that it's important that we have this foundational shift in our worldview and our sense of who we are, and then the solutions are all there. So it's not like we don't have the capacity for fantastic healthcare. If we really take an integrative look at it and combine the best of psychological, spiritual, bodywork modalities, our deepest understanding of nutrition and what are really healthy foods, and we build that into the culture in a much deeper way, and we still have Western medicine for a lot of what its blessings are, but it might be cost half as much. And if we're not playing defensive medicine, trying to protect against lawsuits and that sort of thing on the same level, then we could actually have very healthy culture.
And that's also true for the environment, too. We have the energy solutions, but we're investing in fossil fuels, which, are then poisoning and contaminating and contributing to climate change. So I take your point. From what I have surveyed, and it's not in every single area, but the solutions are all there. So what you're saying is it's a matter of and
upgrading our software. Oh, the human software needs an upgrade in order to implement the new solutions. It's not that we need more solutions. So the question is, how do we upgrade our inner software that allows us to behave and act from a higher level, a more mature level of development? And so that's where we come around to Birth 2012 and 3 Days of Love. Will this absolutely revolutionize the planet? No, it takes some time to grow into a new phase. But what we can do that is very important is we can have peak experiences. When we have, when we're getting married, for instance, it's like we have a really high experience of love and the possibility, and that actually in community, and that creates this template that can propel a marriage forward because we know what's possible. And we still have to, often work out the deeper patterns, and there can be challenges en route. But the reason we put so much energy into a wedding is, on a certain level, is that we want to start something very significant at the highest possible level of consciousness, vibration, of love. And so that's sort of the principle we're extending to the world, is like, why not start a new era with a very high peak experience of love, of collective unity around the world. And because if we can do that, it actually starts to unravel the patterns, the beliefs in ourselves that it's impossible. Most people see that we can move, that you know, that there's peace, there, you know, peace and sustainability. They see a lot of the solutions out there, but they don't actually believe that we are capable of making the shift to a new world. There's a deep mm-hmm. belief that we're sort of stuck in what mm-hmm. we got. And so if we can see, wow, there's a massive coming together around the world. There's a massive commitment to love each other in a new way. There's a massive commitment to join and unify in a spirit of global family. And people can see and experience that starts to rewire our beliefs about what's possible and free up all the creative energy to actually implement the solutions that are already there.
Mm-hmm. So that's, that makes sense to me, and also just, you know, given everything that's going on, any amount of time that people spend, kind of connecting with that positive sense is beneficial. I mean, it can't hurt. That's for sure, right? This is a New Yorker talking. It can't hurt.
It's definitely not going to hurt, and it could help a lot. So.
Right. So this is why you're asking people to make, there's ways that they can participate, both, you know, through the events that will be available online and in various locations, and they can also take a pledge, and we're coming up in a few minutes on a break here, so I just want to mention the pledge. Because the pledge is really, you know, again, this can't hurt. The pledge is, this is a New York framing of this as opposed to the California one. The pledge is, I commit to share words and actions of love on December 21st, 20th, 21st, and 22nd, which is the window that you've described and kind of marked there. And, you know, you've got like 17,000 or so people making that pledge. I'm going to take the pledge right here in the air. I commit to share words and actions of love on December 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And actually, I'm also going to invite my several thousand Facebook friends to do that and to do that on my page, you know, where people post a lot of things and everything, just to sort of spread the joy a little bit there.
Good. Well, our hope is that, like, you know, people like yourself, take the pledge, spread it with others, and it just becomes a really viral outreach. I mean, we just launched it, you know, relatively recently, and it's mm-hmm. starting to get a lot of momentum, and feels like even with the situation in Connecticut, it actually is, there's a certain amount of grief that has needed to just move through our whole culture, and now I think people are starting to think about, well, how do we shift our culture so that we're not having experiences like this, and love is the antidote to the kind of destructive energies that we've just experienced. And so using this time as an opportunity to really build that field of love around the world, and out of that field so much can be grown. And so we'll have, you know, there's literally thousands of gatherings around the world, and probably we're going to be featuring 40 major events on our global webcast at Birth 2012. We're going to be showing the unification that's happening from Mexico to India to Mount Fuji to Cairo to Jerusalem. People are gathering in unity to meditate together, pray together, to celebrate together, to mark this transitional moment with as much joy and love and positive intention as possible.
Mm-hmm. So people can go to your website, which is www.birth2012.com, and
exactly.
Go there, take the pledge. You can see what the schedule of events, what that is, and I guess also people can actually watch events online throughout the next several days. Is that correct?
Exactly. We're going to be starting our live global webcast tonight, actually, with Barbara Marks Hubbard from Byron Bay, Australia. It's going to be our kickoff point. It's one of the first places where the 20th arrives, and she's going to do a whole theater of our birth, telling the big story of our evolution to this point and the possibilities for as we evolve it to the next phase.
Mm-hmm. And so then people will participate in this
Right. So there's a lot of different levels. So taking the pledge and really helping to create that field of love is like one of the most important actions.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is watching and participate and seeing what's happening around the world to feel that sense of a global movement awakening to unity and oneness. And there's mm-hmm. going to be some massive global meditations on on the 21st, particularly in California. The noon moment is going to be very important. We have a major event happening at Agape International Spiritual Center, and we're going to have all these different spiritual leaders and pioneers and actually a fair number of celebrities getting on board now. So it's becoming this massive movement at Agape to really ground this global movement and create a ceremony, if you will, to mark the new beginning, and that's going to be on Saturday. So we're going to have literally a 48-hour live broadcast that's going to have anchor people. It's sort of like the Olympics going around the world. Now we're going to Mount Fuji. Now we're going to Mexico and Chichen Itza. And why is this significant? And we're going to people be this wave around the world. And then the real power is going to happen when people join in all these local hubs around the world. So we have 500 of those on our maps. We know other partners that have 1,000, you know, meditation groups coming together. There's unity churches, Brahmakumaris, like all these different denominations. Yoga practitioners are gathering in their own circles and hubs. So the idea is that we're going to all lift our consciousness into that higher octave of possibilities at the same time, and do these waves around the world as well. So we'll have the first big global meditation at noon Pacific time. Actually, there's one earlier in the day, but it's a little harder for California to participate in because it's 3:11 a.m.
But then what is a wave around the world? What is that?
It's a wave around the world. Think about it. It's just like a unifying moment. We're a synchronized meditation. So we'll do a meditation at noon where everybody joins in that. The prayerful meditative spot. At 2 p.m. on Friday, we'll have Shyla Nelson is going to lead a song around the world, where there's going to be choirs in Nigeria and Australia and all over the place that are going to sing this same song. We have Qigong teachers, so the idea is everybody joins in Qigong for 10 minutes together at 6 p.m. We have at 10:30 p.m., which is noon in India, there'll be 1 billion ohms led from India. So the idea is as many people in the world to ohm together. And then we're going to move into Shiva Ray is doing a yoga wave where every hour we're encouraging yogis to greet the new dawn at 7 a.m. And so as that goes around the world, it'll essentially be a wave of yoga that goes around the world. Unity has an affirmation for Saturday where we're going to basically all do this affirmation together globally. And Jerusalem, Havdalah prayer, so that everybody joins in the Havdalah prayer in the morning on Friday, on Saturday at the same time. So there's a whole schedule of these things that basically honor all the different spiritual traditions and look at how all these practices that can unify us and to do those in a sequence together. You can participate in one or all of them if you feel called, and it keeps building these successive waves of unity around the world.
That's beautiful. Well, we're going to have to take a station break now, but this is very, you know, this sounds like a really terrific thing to do. So if people, you know, aren't rushing out to the malls to purchase a few items that will, you know, kind of wind up in a trash someday or whatever, or, you know, beyond the expression of personal love to our immediate families, which, of course, is appropriate, you know, through in all kinds of ways, giving food or, you know, if you need to give gifts or whatever it is, that, you know, but this is really a way to express love in a more you know, with a shared intention to everybody, which is something that I think is inherently healing that we all need. So let's just take a station break here. We'll be back with you. Please stay with us, listeners, for the second half of Connect the Dots with Stephen Dinan. Stay tuned. We'll be talking more about this. Welcome back, listeners, to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, here with you every Wednesday between 10 a.m. Eastern and 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Every week on the show, we connect the dots between your personal health and well-being and our total health environment. And that's a very, we discuss all different aspects of that. On today's show, we're really looking at the big picture in terms of how to participate to increase the love, the caring, the connection on our planet so that we can, as communities, as people, as communities, and as a society, and as the Earth, make the kinds of positive, forward-thinking changes that will really sustain ourselves, our children, and future generations. My guest on today's show is Stephen Dynan. He's the co-founder of Birth 2012, an event coming up beginning tomorrow, which we're discussing, and he's also the CEO of the Shift Network. So that's our theme for today's show, and we've been chatting about that wonderful kind of conversation and very healing thing to be thinking about as we are here in the aftermath of the grief over the recent Newtown, Connecticut tragedy. Sort of, you know, a lot of people have been saying, you know, how do we move from violence? How do we build trust? How do we lay down our arms, our defenses, our need to target others, fear them, protect from them, be angry with them? And, you know, certainly absorbing, participating with many, many tens of thousands of other people in this 3 days of you know, speaking, generating, and acting from feelings of love together, which is what Birth 2012 is about, that seems like a good way to begin. So, you know, Stephen, we've just been, I also just want to say for a moment, I want to honor the music theme for this show, which is Bobby McFerrin's The Garden. And every week when we do the show, I have to say I never tire of that piece of music, you know, which reminds us that we are all, you know, plants and species here in Earth's garden. And, you know, that's our source. That's our origin. Let's honor that. Let's honor our garden, our Earth garden, and really, you know, do the things that nurture it. And I think that's what the opportunity of Birth 2012 is. So, you know, Stephen, one of the things, you know, people can go to your website, birth2012.com. There's a full schedule. I was just blown away in hearing, you know, your descriptions of the different things. And what it really says is that, you know, people can know that their own faith or spiritual background can be honored and will be part of the entire 3-day event beginning tomorrow and going on through Sunday. You know, but also they can experience you know, other kinds of spiritual paths and events. So it's kind of very inclusive and emphasizes in a way the commonality. You know, the other thing about this that I have to say, my first career was in television, and actually I had a very early career in live television, actually co-producing with a number of people some of the very first via satellite events that ever occurred on television, on PBS, in fact. And so it's really quite awesome to see this technology. This is, I just want to honor the massive amount of organization and work that has gone into bringing all of the different groups who will be participating over this several day period together in all of these different locations. So, you know, listeners, even if you know, you don't participate in the whole thing, this is a really a rare opportunity to kind of even connect with different parts of the world. You know, we may see a few video snippets of some place in the world that's having a hard time on a news program. We may tune into a nature program, you know, that may be set in, you know, covering wildlife in Africa or other things. But, I mean, how often do you really just get to go to Maori sites in, you know, in New Zealand, or to sacred spots in Mexico, and kind of be there in a virtual online way? So for no other reason, you don't have to believe in the Mayan prophecy or disbelieve in it, but just to even have the opportunity to kind of visit these places over the next several days, and really, you know, welcome them into your home, because that's, or wherever you are with your computer, that is a very, you know, I want to honor the work and also the that, you know, went into building this, and also the opportunity for us The show, the programming is going to be coming from Findhorn in Scotland, a place of healing gardens, Africa, all, you know, it's going to have a bunch of feeds, Rio de Janeiro. I mean, it's really quite amazing what you've got going on here.
Yes, it is. I mean, it really is just so heartening to feel how many people have responded to this, because as you said, when people originally just focused around the Mayan prophecy, or it tended to be just very Mexico-centric in a way, rather mm-hmm. than rather than really a global celebration. And so we've really helped to seed that notion around the world, and we've created a number of trainings that have prepared people and really seeded this over, I think we only decided to do this a year and a half ago, but maybe it was two and a half years, but I thought it was more like a year and a half.
Well, but Barbara was talking about it,
She was talking about it. She's been holding something like this vision for a while, and then mm-hmm. but we decided to actually partner mm-hmm. with her and do it, mm-hmm. which was a bit of a trust leap, given that it's not like the finances were in place or the resources,
right.
So we had to figure out how to build this whole global movement, and the technology piece, as you said, has been particularly interesting and challenging to say, now how do we get feeds? So we've got a professional TV production crew in a soundstage next to Agape. We've got Michael Binkow, who was the producer on shows like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and we've got people who've got a really extensive television background, a whole kind of crew. We've got the satellite hookup, the streaming team from England that just did Rihanna's broadcast for YouTube. So it's like some of the top streaming tech in the world, basically figuring out how to stitch this thing together with professional coverage and news desk and interview stage and weaving feeds from, 50 locations into a larger whole. And then we've got all this pre-created content, from music videos to 3 days of love videos that people are creating and submitting, to, messages from spiritual leaders, like people like Dottie Junkie, who's the woman, a 97-year-old woman who's the head of the Brahma Kumaris in India, and which is a million-person organization worldwide, really sweet, beautiful people. And so she wanted to offer a message into this global broadcast. So we've got weaving all these different elements together has been quite a project, and especially the technology is not easy to figure out. Fortunately, our friends at Peace Day TV had been building towards this kind of a unified broadcast. We partnered with them for Peace Day, and so we have a lot of their extended team. There's a good 6 or 7 people that are working from them on being able to integrate all the feeds and switch from location to location. Then we've got the professional TV production with 2 different sound stages and next to Agape, so we can narrate it, bring in different folks. So it's quite a production.
Yeah, I know. I've done this kind of television, and in my first career, and I really understand and appreciate that. And even the fact that when you say there are solutions, that there are which we know in a variety of areas, we're basically proposing lower cost, better outcome solutions across the board. For food, for health, for the environment, for how to relate in a peer-to-peer manner, for social priorities. Rather than this kind of war, conflict, and fear meme, that we've kind of been sort of bought into. But even the fact that all of this came together is both a massive amount of commitment and dedication on the part of, you and others that have, contributed to making this happen, which I really want to salute. And it also, the fact that it happened also is already is a tremendous, that it is coming together here as an offering for people to participate, is a tremendous investment of positive energy and a manifestation of positive energy even before, the actual event begins. I like to say something to people, too, which is, if you go to the Birth 2012 website, you could find a hub where you can go in your community in many locations. I have to say that New York is a bit underrepresented, apart from Brooklyn, New York, my neighborhood, which, of course, I've got something about a few blocks away here that I could go to. That's Brooklyn,
there
New
is
York.
There's an Ascension Ball that another group is producing that's in New York. It'll be quite great on Friday night. We're going to cover that sort of like the dropping of the ball at New Year's. So they'll be doing a symbolic version of that. So that's a great event. There'll also be something at Wainwright House, which will be really lovely. It's sort of There's been
Westchester.
Folks involved who have been creating a declaration of interdependence, and that's going to be signed in Philadelphia and presented in New York symbolically, connecting the dots from the independence of the U.S. to the interdependence globally that New York sort of holds.
Yeah, that's great. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that. I have to look more closely at that map. But you know,
yeah,
the point,
sometimes people haven't been as good as we were hoping to get everything on the map as well. There's some really major stuff that hasn't even gotten on the map. So we've been trying to track it all down, but you know, we know there are hundreds and hundreds of more events that are not even on the map yet. So
okay, so people could look at the calendar and see, you know, if one of the events, like they can look on your calendar for the Friday night event and location and that kind of thing.
Will the calendar, and there's still some things we got to get all hooked up. But it's basically, if you search the map, is a good way to start. We have about 500 groups that are listed there now, and we know of a lot. And if there's nothing there, it's like it's great to just create something in your living room, in your church center, whatever. Whatever feels real is a place. We know there's a lot of people who are gathering in quieter ceremonies too, just to be with, you know, 5-10 of their closest allies to make this a time of reverence and really deepening with each other.
That's, you know, the other thing I was going to say is, even if, you know, you're not sort of, people don't have the time or they're the interest or they're not committed to doing more than maybe, you know, watching a few, you know, any one of these, you know, take your pick, a couple of events. But, you know, if you're just at home and you're wrapping your holiday presents or you're preparing to travel or whatever you're doing, you know, put your laptop on, turn the sound up, and as you're doing, you know, whatever you're doing, why not have this, you know, kind of coming into your own environment? And if something draws your attention, maybe it's something that, you know, you wouldn't have picked off a list, but, you know, some reason it draws your attention, it seems interesting, you can go and sort of dip in and watch. And otherwise, you know, there's a lot of positive energy coming into your home, your office, or, you know, if you're traveling, driving somewhere in your car and into your cell phone, you know, wherever you happen to be. Again, the New York meme, it can't hurt. I mean, these really are some amazing locations.
Yeah, and just so people get a flavor, I mean, you're going to have the full spectrum from peace prayers at Mount Fuji with a whole global ceremony around the peace prayers to Mexico, Teotihuacan, largest pyramid right outside of Mexico City, where they're expecting hundreds of thousands of people to be there for 700 drummers and this whole ritual there. There'll be Chichen Itza, where Mayan elders are going to be in council and emerge with a message for the world to Jerusalem, where there's going to be an interfaith concert and gathering where we have rabbi, imam, and priests coming together in blessings and healing to reunify the Abrahamic family, to Cape Town, South Africa, where there's going to be a whole healing ritual with a tree of Ubuntu, which is their sort of word for oneness.
Oh,
Africa.
Yes, Ubuntu. We love Ubuntu.
Ghana,
yeah.
Ghana, Kenya, I mean, it's Findhorn. It's really extraordinary, all the different sites. So we're trying to create a nice diversity of glimpses from around the world, and hopefully enough of the technology works that we can get most of them on board. I'm sure we were expecting to have some that don't make it onto the global broadcast, even though we want to, because it can be complex to get it all together. But it's we're going to do our best to create as truly global an experience as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's the... I have many experiences which I won't take our airtime from this wonderful event to share. That is to be anticipated. And, you know, if that happens, folks, you know, go out and get your sandwich, you know, while and then you can come back when it's back up online. So, you know, I just think this is just, it sounds terrific. And, you know, if also I just want to say, because we've been talking about the, you know, the recent events in Newtown, Connecticut on the show, you know, if that has, as I know it has for many people, you know, brought up past fears, past griefs, you know, a sense of resonance with those who have passed or their families, you know, other concerns, feelings of outrage that the young children should be at risk, whatever it is, talk to friends, talk to loved ones, but people are very welcome to bring, and I think it's a very good supportive life strategy to mm-hmm. bring these wounds of the heart that we all share and that have been really awakened through this recent experience. This is a place that you can bring them to, to feel some sense of solace, and to resource your own sense of fortitude and hope, that we together can help our world make some of these shifts to create a better world for children in the future. So I just really want to encourage people. Again, the website is birth2012.com. And there's some terrific people that you have speaking also, I just want to say. I mean, many have been guests on the show, and will there be an opportunity to hear a number of the people, like Deepak Chopra and others who are participating? Will there be ways that, will they be participating silently, or will they be speaking?
No, Deepak, we don't have a confirmation exactly the time, but everybody else that's listed, we know they're mm-hmm. going to definitely be on the global broadcast. So we have, the whole range of people from Michael Beckwith to Neil Donald Walsh to Marianne Williamson to people like Lisa Nichols to musicians such as Michael Franti. So there's a lot of great stuff that's going to be offered. And what's cool is it's in different locations. Like Don Miguel Ruiz is going to be one of the main anchors in Mexico, and he's a beloved author, and he's going to be at two of the different Mexico locations and reach, so different locations are going to be hosting a lot of these different leaders, with LA, Los Angeles being really one of the kind of primary hubs. And as I mentioned, if people are in the Los Angeles area, going to birth2012la.com, we have a fantastic 2 days of events that are lining up there around this huge celebratory gala. It's sort of like a spiritual academy awards. We're going to have shift awards for peace, sustainability, for health, and economics. And we're going to be, incredible song. Chaka Khan is playing there now. So we got Android Jones, one of the top visionary artists of our day, doing some really cool stuff. Dance, inspiration. It's going to be a powerful ceremony to mark this moment of the birthing of a new era.
So, I mean, this sounds very exciting, and for our California friends, to participate in. Let me ask you something though. What are you going to be doing, and what can people be doing, after this birth? How do you envision the time following this event in terms of, if it's a birth, we can't say for sure what is born or how people feel about it. But, what are you going to kind of take off and relax somewhere? Or, what do you kind of
immediately afterwards, I confess, we are going to Bali for a month because uh-huh. we've been working for 3 years towards uh-huh. this point. And so uh-huh. we want to have a little, my wife and I want to have some recharged battery time and just be uh-huh. in a space of love ourselves. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, we've got a whole game plan for how does the birth turn into the emergence of a new culture and society. So we're going to aim for 2020 as our next big marker point of building, we're hoping to do a yearly cycle around, not calling it birth 2012, but it'd be like shift 2013, shift 2014, each kind of building on the same template. And then we have 4 seasons of programming that are about shifting each area of our society. So we've got a winter of wellness with, 60 or so of the top mind, body, spirit practitioners who are really pointing the way to integrative health. Spring of sustainability, last year we had 100 of the top sustainability pioneers. Summer of peace, where people are shifting conflict and violence, and I think we had 90 or 100 different leaders share in that. So each season kind of offers the in-depth information for how do we make those changes in each area of our lives so we can build a healthy. So we've used the 4 pillars that we've been building on are health, sustainability, peace, and prosperity. Mm-hmm. So that's why we've done the winter of wellness, spring of sustainability, summer of peace, and autumn of abundance. And so then each year then we create an award for the people who have really been innovators or pioneers and help incentivize that, and then get better and better every year at empowering people to make those shifts in their lives, so that by hopefully by 2020 we begin to see a really fundamentally different kind of human society on our planet, where we have put to rest a lot of the bad habits, if you will, and that we've really made a fundamental shift towards living in a green and sustainable way that we've taken seriously. I believe that we will eradicate war, large-scale war, in our lifetime. I think violence will take a little longer, but I think that we can get beyond the war game. So to really start to take these goals seriously and move a lot of people towards making them a reality.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to add, you know, make changes in our lives and in our communities and social policies. You know, we have to tune in on all of that. So that's my editorial addition to your agenda. Because it's not just enough to do it as an individual. We are interdependent. We have to do it as groups and with our social policies and structures, too. Thank you so much. I get to editorialize being the host. Thank you so much, Stephen Dynan, for being with me today on Connect the Dots. Everyone go to birth2012.com and tune in next week at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network for the next edition of Connect the Dots.